Well, here we are again with another special edition of our Getting to Know series. I hope you've enjoyed these podcasts throughout the lockdown period. They've certainly helped keep me sane anyway. I've got a great guest to me again today, Lee Kendall. Fantastic, you know, advert for what's possible in the Welsh game. He's had a fantastic career. Lee, you must be, excited, I guess, at the moment. You've got a new challenge coming up, but how's everything going? Are you all right?
Yeah, great. It's been a bit of a whirlwind, 24, 48 hours. I think I'm getting to know what management's really like very quickly. The phone calls and the emails and the text messages, and just trying to get prepared really for the season. Obviously, when it's safe and ready to do so. And it's difficult as we're all in a really difficult position and don't know when to start, but yeah, really excited by it, as you said, and looking forward to the challenge.
And I was wondering, where do we start really, because you've had such a great career on and off the pitch. I guess we start with how you feel about your career. You must have great pride for what you've achieved.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm in within Welsh football. I think when you look back at it, you're always thinking, you know, what was great and what could I have done better and these kind of things. And if I'm honest, you know, with the Welsh Premier League, when I first came into it, sort of 20 years ago this summer, as a lone player from Crystal Palace at 19 years old, I was only talking about it the other day, and you know, to make a debut in the UEFA Cup away against Boa Vista in Portugal was something which, you know, your senior debut, which is something which, you know, now is probably not known. And I was only talking about it to one of the young players at Barry recently, Evan Press, who did exactly that, obviously, against Cliftonville last summer. He made his debut at 19, just turned 19, and we were chatting away about saying, you know, probably two of the youngest players probably to play for Barry in Europe. And just those memories that you know, that go back so far, and then obviously managed to forge a sort of a half decent career in the Welsh Premier League, and really enjoyed lots of memories that that we'll probably talk about in the next few minutes.
I think half decent is very modest. But were you always sort of, were you always destined to have a good career, do you think? Because obviously your dad was a very good goalkeeper as well. So were you always someone who wanted to follow in those footsteps, or did it just sort of come about anyway?
No, absolutely. You know, I talk about my dad as being one of my heroes, one of my best friends, one of the people I always looked up to, and you know, as anyone looks up to the father figure, really. And to be honest with you, yeah, you know, he's one of those I would never ever put myself in the same bracket as the level of achievement he made. Obviously, he was very successful at, you know, what is now Premiership level. You know, making his debut as a young 18-year-old in a Tottenham team, and you know, I'm a very successful career across all four divisions. We were only talking, obviously, with the lockdown, there's been a lot of reminiscing around things, in which saw a game where Wolves were playing Burnley in the cup final, and I always remember that sort of very vividly around when I went to Wembley to watch my dad play against Burnley. I think they call it now the sort of auto windscreens or the EFL Cup or whatever it is now. And I always remember being there, sort of 80,000-odd fans watching that, and always remembered being around the players and stuff. I'd always had that want to be a football player, and luckily enough, you know, I say half decent. You know, I'm obviously generally pleased that you said it was better than that. But obviously, I look back at it and I go, you know, to make a living or to earn money out of the game for doing something that you love is a bonus. And you know, hopefully this continues with this role now that I'm in, and I can hopefully help along other players.
And since we're on the subject, I mean, we talked about this about 2 months ago, I think, about one of your most special memories in football. You actually played against your dad as well. I mean, can you talk us through that experience? I mean, I know we talked about it recently, but can you just take us back through that?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, I always remember it was 20 years ago, probably. I think we would have been coming up sort of this season coming up. So obviously 20 years ago, I was at Barry. And then that season, it would have been just before Christmas because obviously I left to go to Cardiff at the Christmas time, Cardiff City. And it was a really strange, what had happened, Barry Town's first ever loan player. And basically what they did was they said, look, we'll put you up in a hotel just outside Cardiff. And obviously you can come in, and they were full time at the time. You come in and train, and obviously we'll prep for the games, etc. And obviously living in South Wales myself, I said, look, save yourself the money. I'll go home and live with mum and dad. You know, I'd only been away sort of 2 years living in London on my own. So I went back to home and sort of went back in the old bedroom and dusted it down and stuff, you know. And it was strange. I came home after training on a Thursday, and my dad was on the phone. And I said to my mum, was he on the phone too? And I was like, I don't know. And I came off the phone and sort of said that I could hear him talking. He sort of said, and who are we playing? And he said, Barry. And he was like, well, Barry Town. And he was like, yeah. So I'm in. So I put the phone down. I was like, well, what are you talking about? Who are you talking to? He said, oh, it's the Cumbrian manager. And he was like, we're up against each other Saturday. And I'm like, what? He said, I think he was about 42, 43 at the time. It was real emergency sort of, they didn't have anyone else, a real emergency for them. Sort of give us some stick. We'll batter you, you know, we're full time, you're part time, you know, you've got this old fogey and goals and blah, blah, blah. And my mum sort of said, you can't be doing that. I always remember my mum and my nan, and I always remember at Cumbrian, they had a big stand, but then a lower stand. And my mum and my nan were sat literally on the halfway line with one on one side and one on the other, so they couldn't, you know, so no one could determine who they were supporting. They were sort of sat on the halfway line, or sat on the fence then, if you want to put it that way. And yeah, it was, it came up in the favour of Kendall Senior, unfortunately. We lost 3-0. I probably cost them one of the goals, which I should have probably done better with. And again, I didn't go home for probably 4 days afterwards because I knew I'd get a load of stick. So, but again, a massive learning curve for me, because in fairness to him, you know, he was one of those ones where he sort of gave me a lot of advice afterwards and said, look, I listened to you on the pitch, you know, I was close, I could sort of hear what you were saying, I could see what your players were doing, you know, gave me lots of advice around that, and something I learned from, and something, unfortunately, till he passed away, I never lived it down. So yeah, it was another great memory of my career in the Welsh Premier League.
And one of the nicest things I remember you saying to me previously about that memory is that, you know, you caught yourself at times just looking at the other end of the pitch in awe of him, you know, because of what he was doing.
For sure. And it was quite funny, actually, because he didn't have any kit, because he put on a bit of weight since when he finished playing. So I had to lend him my Crystal Palace kit that I'd had. And it was back then, it wasn't like the kids now. Obviously, it was an XL shirt. I drowned me, but he was like, and yeah, just sort of, you know, just the way he played and the way he speaks. And, you know, every person's got their own different opinions and, you know, of their dads and stuff. But, you know, he was a hero of mine and someone I obviously looked up to. And to have that opportunity to do that, I don't think there's many, I wouldn't say there's many people who've had that opportunity to be on the same pitch at the same time, in the same position, to have that opportunity. And it was a really great experience. And I enjoyed looking back over the old footage and listening to Dylan Ebenezer actually speaking in English at that time and commentating on the game. It was just, it's great how far the league has come, but also still all the same faces, you know, in and around the league as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, to turn to your sort of early experiences in the professional game then, how quickly do you have to grow up in that environment, I guess, as a young player? And how does that prepare you for, I guess, the experiences you had afterwards in semi-professional football, but also for the experiences you did have as a pro as well?
Yeah. Well, it's honestly back in those days, it was tough. You know, there wasn't the academy system that it was, that there is now. And it was get on the train at 14 when you'd sign schoolboy forms every Friday after school, get on the train, travel to London. If you're in the youth team on a Saturday, then you'd play. If you weren't, you'd be on the bench or you'd watch the game. You'd watch the first team if they were home on a Saturday, stay overnight on a Saturday night, play for them like the junior team. So you're in the 14s, 15s, 16s, for instance. And then they'd put you back on the train on your own. And then your mum and dad would meet you back in Newport or Cardiff, wherever you got picked up, on a Sunday evening. It makes you grow up very quickly. But I was lucky enough that my dad had been through the same pathway, with him being at Tottenham and then me being at Crystal Palace in South London. So similar routes when we got the padding done, but then obviously underground and whatever, after you have to get off and find your own way to where you have to go. And it makes you grow up really quick, Jim. And it's probably something that's probably helped me along the way with my children, certainly, sort of. And probably mothered or fathered them a little bit more, because the world is slightly different than what it was back then. So, yeah, it gives you that kind of piece to grow up quickly. And then you can always talk about your experiences to young players as well, which for me now, obviously, you know, having worked in football and coaching and management for a short period, but coaching for a long time, you can still talk to these young players. And I mentioned Evan Press there, you know, a young player I've worked with this last year, the year before, Danny Williams, who was at Haverford West and then got signed by Cardiff City. You know, just talking about the kind of ways in which it works in professional football, and the things and the pitfalls and the highs as well, you know. And it probably did set me up, Jamie, you know. And you then move on and you live in digs with a family that you don't know when you do actually move away at sort of 16 years old. You know, you just finished school and, you know, your hormones are everywhere and everything, and you moved into a family you don't know, and you really got to find your feet dead quick. And I was quite lucky, really, that Chris Coleman was the centre-back at Crystal Palace at the time, and who'd played with my dad at Swansea. So he was sort of like Taff, come on under his wing and looked after me. He moved on, and then we had players like Gareth Davis now, who's currently working for the Welsh Football Trust. He was another player that was there who kind of took me under his wing and looked after me. And there was a couple of us from South Wales that had moved up. A couple of lads who played in the Welsh Premier League over the years, you know, sort of Stephen Evans, who was at Llanelli, Michael Fowler, who'd been in and around Cumbran, I think he played. And so we all kind of got on, and the Welsh lads. And we had a few lads over from Ireland. And it was funny, what I met one of the lads who I played with, Kieran Loughran, from Northern Ireland. He actually came to the Cliftonville game with Barry last year, and we caught up before the game and had a good chat about old times. It's just, you know, funny how things come back around again. But yeah, it certainly sets you up. And I was very lucky that I had Peter Nicholas as my youth team manager. Obviously an unbelievable career behind him, you know, being a Welsh international and played in the top level with Chelsea and Watford, etc., Aberdeen. But then obviously then he was a coach, and he moved on to the Welsh Prem and played for him, played against him, and played for him twice, actually, at Neath and at Barry. I came up against him at Llanelli. I think there was a game on the telly the other day where we played, where was it, Rhyl, when we played against him. So, yeah, just really set you up, Jane, for those opportunities and in life. And then I went out on loan, went to Barry, and sort of had a good spell there, sort of a good sort of 20 games under my belt as a real youngster. On the back of doing well with the youth team at Palace, we got the FA Youth Cup final, got beat by Leeds on two legs, and you look at their team, it was like Robinson in goals, Alan Smith, Harry Kewell, all these players, you know, that were there at the time. And I had the opportunity to go out on loan and try and test yourself, and I went to Barry, and then, like I said, the rest is history then, mate. We sort of moved on, got a good move, because I'd been playing for the Wales in the 21s at similar again with George, who came in this year, George Ratcliffe. He got selected for Wales in the 21s whilst he was playing for Barry on loan. And I sort of said to him as well, similar from the Evan Press conversation, really. That's exactly what happened to me when I came on loan, because you're playing first team and you get that exposure. He got selected and he did really well. And then on the back of that, I got to move to Cardiff then, because Bobby Gould, who was the manager of Wales at the time, was overseeing everything from sort of first team down, had seen me play for the 21s and put a bid in for me, and I went to Cardiff. And you know, I wouldn't say I had a great professional career, because I didn't play as many games as I'd like to. And then as a goalkeeper, that's tough. You know, you find yourself under a good number one and being understudy and going out on loan, etc., a few times. But I find my level, and I ended up finding my level at you know, with going to Haverford West, and the rest is history then from the Welsh Premier League, you know.
And you touched on the Boa Vista game earlier, but I guess that says a lot about the opportunities you get in this league in Wales, in that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Boa Vista game probably would have been your toughest challenge to that point, given that, you know, you were in a professional game beforehand, but so here you are coming to Welsh domestic football and you're playing in the Europa League against one of the best teams in Portugal. So that was a massive experience as well.
The highest I played then would have been reserve team football. And, you know, reserve team football back in those days was good because obviously there wasn't this, the under-23s or under-21s league as there is. And you play with good players, but, you know, you're coming in, you're playing against top internationals. You know, I remember the goalkeeper actually who played in that game was the goalkeeper that played against them. I think it was England, I think, when they played Portugal, Ricardo, and he took his gloves off and made the save. And you look back on that and you think to yourself, actually, there's a great deal of, like you said, nervousness going into it, but having the opportunity to play at that level at such a young age and get some good exposure within the league was unbelievable.
And obviously, as you mentioned, Haverford West came soon afterwards. You must have had real pride with the experience you had there. I think to date, it's still their highest finish in the Welsh Premier, or as it was called then. They finished third. I think they had the best defensive record in the league. You might correct me on that, or it was one of the best anyway. But what an experience, you know, to take a team like that to those heights.
Absolutely, mate. I have to say, Haverford West is, all the clubs I've played for have been brilliant, but Haverford West was the where I felt sort of most at home to start with, really, because of, they made me captain after the first season. You know, it was a really small, tight-knit sort of community there. And, you know, Darren, who's the manager, let's not get, you know, he's not obviously working in the game as such now, but let's not get it wrong. He was very, very astute in what he did. You know, he played a lot of football at Wrexham, you know, started off as Norwich, and he knew what he was doing. He came across as a very calm and, you know, likeable guy, but he knew exactly what he's doing, and he got the right pieces of the jigsaw in the right place. He had me in goal, which, you know, I wouldn't want to comment on what I was like, but obviously that'd be for other people to comment. But, you know, you had some really strong players like Darren, obviously, who played there at right back. Wyn Thomas, a young Wyn Thomas at that time, was a colossal. You know, he's unbelievable. You know, he was someone who really sort of was daunting in the league because he was such a big bloke. And you know, when starting out, he was fit, hungry, and strong, and he was excellent. You had Wayne Jones, then, who's the manager now. You know, another great player in the league who was fantastic at left back, and we brought along a really young centre back called Rob Jones, who was excellent at the time, and our back four and back five, with me included, was probably, well, it was the best, one of the best in the league at the time from goals against, and we were very good at home. You know, we kept a lot of clean sheets, but again, you know, we had people in the team like Rhys Griffiths, who obviously went on and done massive things in the league, as we know, and some really sprinkled with some good young players. Sort of Lee Hudgel, who was sort of big at the time and sort of went on in trials at other clubs. But then we had sort of players like Darren Ryan and Colin Loss, who were the experienced heads in there, who made us tick and got us going. And, you know, you just look at the team that we had, and it probably had the right blend, James, you know. And again, yeah, it is the highest finish to date. You know, it was a great season because I remember they had the Cymru, what was it called? The Premier Cup. And we played Wrexham, and they had 3,000 there watching. And I always remember, you know, how big it was, an occasion for the town. Unfortunately, with the European game, it had to be played in Cardiff because of, obviously, the stadium at the time. They didn't expect to finish third and get into Europe, you know. So I don't think the stadium was ready for that. So it was an unbelievable achievement and something which probably, you know, goes down in history for them, really.
And you mentioned Rhys there. I mean, I'm interested to how a dynamic like that works, because obviously you were teammates for a couple of years and then you ended up being rivals, I guess, for the rest of your career. I mean, what was that kind of a, was it hard to have that kind of relationship with players, you know, who you spoke so highly of, sort of like Wyn is another one, I guess, and all these players who were so, you know, so legendary in the league. Obviously you played with a lot of them, but when it came to being up against them, did you see them as rivals or did you see them as friends, or how did you see it?
No. Always friends, and still are to this date. You know, spoke to Griff first person to text me after I got the job was Griff. You know, he's a born winner, the guy. You know, the guy's a born winner, and but he's always humble with it, and he's a great guy. As did Wynn message me. You know, unfortunate for Wynn this year, they didn't go up, obviously, with Swansea Uni, but you know, we still remain, you know, I would try and stay remain close friends with a lot of the people I played with. But like anyone would say, as soon as you're at that pitch for 90 minutes, you know, it is what it is in football, and you know, you're paid to do a job, and you know, you want to win. It's in everybody who plays football, and you know, I'm sure afterwards you shake hands, and not so much now. You have a pint in the bar, but back then you did. But not so much now. You have a Lucozade or a glass of water, especially with Griff, because he was the most boring guy you'd ever meet. Didn't enjoy a pint, but hence the reason he's playing now, probably still playing now at his level. But great guy, and all great guys. But yeah, it's a tough ask. And when you do come up against, you'll ask any player in this league or any football player really, that they go out the window for the 90 minutes, and then afterwards, then it's, you're back to the best of friends.
And you obviously sampled the Europa League there. You sampled the Champions League with Real, and won the league with Real. I mean, Europe's the pinnacle, of course, for this league, of the achievements, I guess, that you can have. But what's the Did the Champions League feel more special than the Europa League, or were they both sort of amazing experiences?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky that every club I've played at in the Welsh Premier League, as it was then, Crummy Premier now, is I've qualified for Europe with, or played for them in Europe. So I've been very lucky in that, and you know, I kind of hold that quite dear to myself. You know, on the back of the absolute euphoria of winning the league at Real, you know, fantastic season, you know, brought some really good players in, worked part time, but felt like we were a full time team with the players that we had, and obviously, you know, beating TNS and Llanelli to the title that year was fantastic achievement for us off the back of, you know, probably mediocre the year before. The Champions League was something special. Another story, a couple of stories within that, which make me laugh when I think back. But the scoreline wasn't great, Jay. I've got to be honest here. You know, 4-0 down at home in the first leg against Partizan Belgrade, who I'm gonna say this because it softens the blow a bit. Who went on and qualified for the group stages and played Arsenal. So we'll take that. We, you know, with a 12-0 on aggregate scoreline wasn't great. So 4-0 down from the first leg. And I always remember, I was telling this story the other day, obviously we were 4-0 down. It was a tough ask. And my mum had said to me, it was a year after my dad had passed away. She said to me, what's it on the TV? It was on Scorio, actually. Good team, aren't they? I said, yeah. She said, what's it going to be like out there? I said, tough. She said, well, don't beat your dad's record of 8 goals now, will you? You know, and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he played in Europe for Swansea against Monaco, and they were managed by Arsene Wenger. Manuel Petit played, George Weah played. And she said, whatever you do, don't let more than 8 in. He said, because you'll break the family record. So I was like, great. So anyway, we played the game and they absolutely battered us. And they were fantastic. You know, lots of Serbian internationals, a couple of Brazilian guys chucked in there, a couple of Portuguese guys. It was just, they were just an unbelievable team. So we're 8-0 down and there's a massive clock in the stadium, and a sort of Eastern Bloc stadium full of, like, well, Partizan fans, believe it or not. And this clock, I could just see it was ticking down, and I'm like, don't let it be 9. Don't let it be 9. And I looked across to the bench, and the fourth official held up 1, and I was like, 1 minute to go, 60 seconds, just keep hanging. And the game didn't restart. And I'm like, why hasn't it restarted? And I've looked across, I said, me? I said, you're subbing me? And I'm like, so it was Alan Bickerstaff and Ocean Roberts, and I'm like, I've just let 8 goals in. So you can imagine what the crowd were like. They were like, you know, giving me a load of stick. And as I've come off, to be fair, another guy from Anglesey, you probably know Paul Pritchard, who's a great guy, was on the bench. And the Keepers Union, you know, we got on really well, me and Pritch. And he said, you know, desperate to play in the Champions League, and they gave him a minute in the Champions League, and he kept the clean sheet. So I'm like, I said, he always rings me up and says to me, I'm the only person that have played for Real to keep a clean sheet in the Champions League. I'm like, cheers, Pritch. So it was didn't break the record, but obviously got subbed as well. So I wasn't too happy afterwards. But there you go.
But amazing experiences, and you know, I always ask this, and I think it's important for people to ask themselves it as well. You know, when you got to the Welsh game, if someone had told you at the end of it you'd have all these experiences and done all these things and gone to Europe all these times, you know, you'd have put your hand off for that experience, surely.
Oh, 100%. You know, you just look back and you look at your CV and look at your achievements, and you go, there's not many people that can play, they say they've played in, you know, this is people across the league right now, you know, obviously with qualification for Europe, you know, in the top three and for the Cups. You know, at the time, Champions League, UEFA Cup at the time, Intertoto Cup with Real, Champions League we talked about, now the Europa League with Barry. So sort of across that that spectrum, really, of the European tournaments. And that's what this league can offer, James. You know, I think people at times, not now, because it's grown dramatically in the last 2 years, 3 years. I think people sort of used to look down on the Welsh Premier League or the Cymru Prem, and see it as an easy route, you know. But now, I think with the growth of the league, you know, TNS being full time, Coniskey now challenging, you know, Bala doing ever so well and qualifying for Europe on a number of occasions, Barry coming back into the league now with their history. You know, and then again, like we talked about, teams just popping up and getting into Europe. So, like, you know, I was watching Scott the other day with Prestatyn winning the cap, and they playing in Europe, and you know, Newtown qualifying, and all these teams that, you know, Kevin Druids, you know, all these teams that have been around for a number of years, just getting great exposure. And I think that's what we got to celebrate with this league, is the fact that, you know, honest Joes like ourselves who probably weren't great at, you know, didn't make it to the top level, and now in a really strong league and having a, you know, really good chance of doing something that you can tell your grandkids about, you know?
No, absolutely. And I spoke to Griff quite recently as well, for a podcast, and I spoke to him since, but he mentioned that it was close. He might be incorrect here, but he said it was close that you joined him at Konecki when that team was quite big. I mean, was that something that ever came about? Or are there any moves that you didn't make that you could have made in your career that you thought, maybe I would have liked to do those or anything like that?
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, me and Griff, to be fair, we could have played together on a number of occasions. We kind of missed each other at times. You know, I went to Llanelli at the time. I think I couldn't really get anything over the line. Where I was, the club I was at, I won't give it away, because it was done in the right way, but I just couldn't get out of the club I was at, and I would have loved to, because Stebo, to be fair, was one of the places where you love to go. You know, the pitch was fantastic, putting things in place to try and get back in the Welsh Premier League now. Cymru Prem, should I say. And you know, they're putting things back in place. There's a few things which, you know, in your career that you look back and go, oh, if I'd have gone there, that might have happened. You know, I spoke to someone when Ken McKenna was at TNS, and they were going through just before Paul Harrison went there, they were looking for a goalkeeper, and I was keen to go there, and they were just about to go full time. And I was at Cardiff at the time, and I was thinking about potentially going there. It was just little things that, you know, come up, and but you know, I'm pleased with what I did in the Welsh Premier League, and you can't always look back on, you've done brilliantly, you know, and enjoyed every moment of it, really, which I did.
No, absolutely, and I mean, you mentioned you watched one game that was rebroadcast recently. There's another one this weekend. It's a cup final you were involved in. I'm sorry to bring it up, I guess, but what are your recollections of that game and that experience?
Oh, so many. I mean, I spoke to Jonah this morning, and he rang me, and he's like, he said, did you see my bit on that? Did you see my rinting? I'm like, I made a mistake. I know what it was about. So, and unfortunately, that's part of goalkeeping, James. You know, you make a mistake and that's it. It leads to a goal, or leads to, you know, you're getting sent off or whatever. And I blame Malcolm Allen for it. I do blame Malcolm Allen for this. But it was a difficult one, because we were coming in off the back of a really, really good season. We ended up qualifying for Europe that year anyway, by finishing third. I always remember the club had bought us club suits. $1 million, you know, and I know we got off the bus at the same time as the Bangor lads, and they're looking at us going like, it's only the Welsh Cup final, boys. You know, it's not. This is not, you know, London Fashion Week. You know, and I remember going out to look at the pitch, and we went to look at the pitch at Llanelli, obviously at the Park of Scarlets as it was called then. And it was really dry, really, really dry. And we went out and did the warm up, and it was still really dry. And when I came back, out for the game, the sprinklers had come on, and there was obviously watered the pitch. And Malcolm Allen had said to me, I told him to water the pitch for you to get the ball down and play. He was laughing and joking. And within the first, I just misjudged the flight of the ball. I think I potentially probably got a caught. I didn't realise where I was on the edge of the box. And he's kicked up and it's gone right over my head. And one of my old teammates has run on the back and tapped it in. And I always remember the scory old commentary. And a couple of my mates have texted me already saying that the game is on. And I think something goes like, Kendall! And it goes over the top and it goes in. And I'm like, oh my God. But it goes in and, you know, yeah, it probably starts off on a bad. But then, you know, probably showed our fight as a team then, really. We went 2-0 down, but that's what we were about that year. You know, that year at Port Talbot, we probably didn't have the best team. You know, I know that for a fact. You openly say, you look on paper, we wasn't the team that, you know, that had all the best players, but we were the team that got together. And we were lucky that we had a good catch-up the other week. We had a Zoom catch-up of all the old boys caught up and took a load of stick on that as well, to be fair, for the first goal. But, you know, just showed a character getting back into the game and how much the manager believed in us and how much we believed in him, because he was, you know, he still is one of the best managers I've played for in the Welsh Premier League, you know, for man management and for belief in you as a player and making you feel like $1 million. And he still does that now, you know, even when he gives you a call. And that's, you know, I've got a lot of respect for Mark. And we got back into that game and Riso, again, probably maybe got a fist on it, but Riso ends up getting a head on it. And I think Dave Morley claimed it in the end, but it was an own goal. So, but for a team to win 3 Welsh Cups in a row, you know, they were fantastic. And, you know, I take my hat off to Nev, because Nev's another great guy who's worked in this league for a number of years and give a lot to the Welsh Premier League. So, in this league, you know, as you know, Jamie, there's lots of small circles and everyone moves around and knows everyone. And, you know, you've got to take your hat off to the people, and because you're going to bump into them, you know, along the way. So, good memories.
And you touched on Jonah there. I mean, you've obviously had the experience of working with him at Wales sea level as well. I mean, you continued your playing career after your spell at Port Talbot, obviously with Neath and with Prestatyn and so on. But you did start to transition into coaching. I mean, was that something you always wanted to do, or did it just come about naturally, or were you inspired by working with other coaches, such as maybe Jonah and others?
Yeah, another story, really, about it at Real, really. When I worked with Oshin Roberts and Alan Bickerstaff, who obviously were technical director and, you know, a coach educator for the Welsh Football Trust, was Alan. And In my head at the time, Jamie, and without going over all ground, you know, I'd lost my dad very quickly, and my dad was a transition from being a footballer to a police officer. And I knew that when he did pass away, that he got looked after well. You know, my mum had his pension, and you know, and had a good pension, and he got looked after and stuff. And I thought to myself, God, I got to start thinking about my career after football, you know, because, you know, I'm really don't know what I'm going to do, because I was always, you know, dropping into small jobs, but made sure the job was right for football rather than the job was for me, because, you know, as long as you give your weekends off and you could train on a Tuesday, you know, ensure that you could play. And I really started to think about that. So Osh, to be honest with you, sort of said, look, you need to start thinking about your badges, and I think you'd be, you know, you'd make a good coach. And he gave me an opportunity with the under-16s Wales, like the Victory Shield squad as it was then. And I was just very lucky to have an opportunity where he sort of believed in me, and it went from there, really. And I sort of thought, well, yeah, coaching might be a role for me. And what I did was I went back to it as a mature student, back to university. And I thought, I'm going to be a PE teacher. So I did a degree in sport. And at that time then, when I was working for Osh part-time with the Welsh 16s team, God rest his soul, Gary Speed's son, Ed, was in that group. And obviously I knew Speedo from when I played with Wales at 21s level, and he was the senior captain at the time. And he said, "Ken's, what are you doing?" I said, "You know, I'm just coaching here and still playing and back and forth rail and whatever, whatever." And he said, "Oh, okay, keep an eye on you and whatever." And then obviously I went to Port Talbot after rail and he rang me up. He said, "Look, got an opportunity at Sheffield United in the academy. Would you like to come?" And I did, and that's where it went. And I left Port Talbot and went to Sheffield United for a year, cut my teeth in coaching. And then Gaz left and I was sort of up there on my own as such, and an opportunity to go back to Neath and be a sort of player coach, which it was. I didn't really do too much coaching, but again, so came home. And then I just really decided then, as I sort of finished off my degree towards the latter years, I thought, yeah, coaching's for me, and managed to get a role in Cardiff City, and the rest is history, really.
And to touch on Gary Speed quickly, I mean, did you sort of sense working with him that he was going to go on and be the manager that he became? Because he had a lot of success in a short space of time as a manager.
You know, I got on so well with Gary, and you know, I'm just so I can't be grateful enough for him to give me the opportunity. But that's the type of guy he was, Jamie. You know, he was such a humble, honest bloke who just wanted to help people, and without a shadow of doubt, you know, you could see his leadership qualities and the kind of guy he was, that he would definitely go on and do great things because of, look at his football, his actual playing career. You know, his playing career was awesome, and people would cut, you know, give their right arm to have a career like that, and you know, just in awe of the guy, really. And you know, just so unfortunate that what happened, and obviously, you know, it was a great blow to Welsh football, but more importantly to his family and friends. And I think that he'll be forever remembered for being one of the football's greatest managers and players.
No, absolutely. I was told a few years ago that there's only a certain number of people who've captained their country and managed their country with distinction. And the group that I was told, one was Gary, one was Beckenbauer, I think, and I can't remember who the other one was, but there were three absolute legends of the game. And if that doesn't tell you what sort of context he was thought of within, then I don't know what will. But yeah, absolutely a legend. Obviously, you had other great opportunities in coaching as well, you know, Cardiff, Bristol as well, I think. And, you know, we've obviously ended up at Barry then as well. I'm not sure what the coaching sort of qualifications or standards were like a few years ago in the Welsh game. But if you look at that Barry coaching setup from this season just gone, I think you all had pro or A licenses, or you were all as high as you could possibly be. So what does that say, do you think, about the way that coaches are having that opportunity to be educated now?
Oh, and it comes through Oshin. I think his strap line that they put together, the Welsh coaches, and you know, you look at that was, you know, sort of 10, 15 years ago, and you look at it and you go, well, I don't really see what they mean by that. And then as a young coach, and all of a sudden then you go, wow, because it's the drip effect, isn't it? You know, it gets dripped down. And you look at the league now and you go, Connors Quay, three pro licence coaches, Barry, two pro licence, one on the pro, two A licence assistants as well, who you know, all the head of coaches coaching at the football clubs now have to have a qualification. Colin, pro licence at Bala. Every manager has to have a pro licence or be looking to work towards it. And again, you know, obviously the effects of that have worked greatly on the players, because the standard of the league has gone like that. And for me, it's important that, you know, that continues, because if the league is going to grow and go even better, because I believe it can, I really do. I think, you know, this time in 10 years' time, you know, you might be having the same conversation with maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 professional clubs, you know, or working towards that, you know. And I think that would be the vision for the league. And I think the coach, going back to when I was there were some great managers, some awesome managers, you know, some. But again, the tactical detail now of what the Welsh Premier looks like was probably slightly different to what it was. Certainly, the games now are obviously a lot are on 3G, which gives you a bit of a leveler around styles of play, and it becomes a little bit more of chess or cat and mouse. But also with the facilities that the Welsh FA give the clubs, to, you know, sort of through Instat, to look at potential opponents that you're playing. It's just done so professionally. So only better things for the league in my view, and below, because you know, like I find myself, you know, fingers crossed in Cymru South next year with Thafswell, and that then, you know, you drops down, and you're looking at the level of managers in that league, and in obviously the Cymru North as well. You know, there's some really top managers in, you know, people like Gibbo and Niall McGuinness, and these people who are really striving to become top managers in the country. So,
I mean, you talk about the standard of the players and everything going up, but you're very well placed to have seen that, not just from your role in Barry, but obviously with Wales C as well. I mean, how special were those experiences for you, and what sort of an insight or further insight, I guess, does that give you into the standard of the, you know, growth of players in the league, I guess, because there's some incredible players in that squad, well, both squads.
Yeah, for the Cymru South team now, yeah, because you broke up a bit, Jamie did.
Sorry, oh, no, for Wales C, sorry, with Jonah and so on.
Oh, sorry, mate, got you. Yeah, they're awesome. And I think, like I said, the two squads, obviously the year that we played, and obviously this game was unfortunately cancelled, but obviously the right thing to do for the safety of players and fans, etc. But, you know, you look at it and you look at the players that have gone on year before, obviously Adam Roscoe now. You know, is in League One with Wimbledon and doing really, really well. You know, you look at the level of quality around, you know, some of the players in there, you look, they should kick on. And it's the rise of players actually as well. Jonah's got it right, I believe, with adding the youngsters to it as well. So having those two sort of youngsters who've done excellent in the league to add them on. And it's really good to see that, because I think that builds confidence in the league. That allows you know, the younger players to see that there's a pathway to get that, and I think it's well covered as well, because you know, I was lucky enough to play, you know, on a couple of seasons for what it was then the Home Nations for the Wales non-league team, I think it was called at the time. You know, that was really good, because you come up against obviously some real strong opposition from both Ireland, Scotland and England. But it just proves, you know, we did really well at Salford, and I think, you know, that Wales being Wales against England is always going to be some sort of game there, and for us to play the way we did, to perform, and also to really roll up our sleeves when things got a bit tough, and prove sort of grit and determination. There was opportunities for us to win the game, and I'm just really pleased. I was that, you know, obviously I was a little bit biased at the time, but obviously, from one of the goals that, you know, Greeny delivered the ball and Kane scored, and for Barry at the time, that was just a huge moment for the club, you know, and the rest of the guys in there, but also forged some really great relationships with the players that were in that squad, and we always look for them when you're up against them, or always shake the hand after the game and talk about that. And again, you know, this year was going to be, you know, probably our strongest group, but then, you know, these other players that could have come into that, and there were a lot of people that missed out who were really close. And you know, looking forward to when it restarts, that people can put their hand up and look to try and get in that squad.
No, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know if you remember a few weeks ago we spoke for your five-a-side team, fantasy five-a-side team. Well, we did it with a number of different people, as you're aware, and the most picked goalkeeper was, well, one of the most picked people was you. So you've developed that sort of status, I guess, amongst your peers. But who do you look at, or who have you looked at throughout your career and thought those players were really good? I mean, particularly maybe in terms of strikers, were there people that you thought, God, they were good players, or was anyone that stands out for you?
I really wish they used five-a-side goals in that Welsh Cup final, because it wouldn't. No, I appreciate that. I mean, I wouldn't say probably a lot to do with ability, but I probably got on with a lot of people in the league, probably hence the reason they picked me, and still do get on with them. But no, there's, if I could, you know, I did something recently about maybe my best 11, but there's some players that play in this league now that were playing when I played back then, and you look at people like George Horan, who's, you got to admit, if he's not voted as one of the all-time greatest players in the league, there's got to be something wrong, you know, because the guy's an absolute machine, you know, and just showed, you know, I played with him at Real, and you could tell that he was skipper at the time there, and he was probably, you know, what was he, 25, 26, you know, just absolute, legend of the game in Wales, really. But there's so many to choose from. I mean, Griff is obviously an opponent which, you know, like we talked earlier, you come up against him and, you know, he's so driven as a professional that he would, again, he'd kick you, he'd elbow you, he'd do what he needed to win and to score goals. And, you know, he was selfish, you know, but in a good way, you know, he was driven to score goals. And that proves by winning the Golden Boot, was it five times in a row, I think, or whatever it was, that he did that. And he was always difficult because they had Andy Legg who launched the ball in the box and they'd try and find a way to come and block you and smash you if you were trying to come for the ball. And that was always tough against Griff. And, oh, just loads of players, really. You know, Mark Lloyd Williams is another one, you know, really crafty in and around the box and could finish, you know, sort of so well. And, you know, Big Les, when you come against him, you know, horrible to play against. And, you know, when Peter Hoy used to throw the ball in the box. And, you know, just look back, so many memories of, because I've played so many games, you come and probably played, you know, against the big teams, you know, and which means things. You're always going to have challenges, you know. But I've been lucky enough to play on the same team as some good players as well, very good players, and just really, really look back. It's actually quite humbling, really, looking back with you at some of the games and the players that I've played with and against, and it just makes you smile.
And just finally, obviously, as we mentioned at the start, you've got a new exciting challenge to look forward to. What do you look forward to in particular about that challenge, and where do you see that new adventure with Tafswell taking you?
Yeah, I think, again, it probably goes back to what we've talked about over the course of the podcast, really, Jay, is the growth of the game, really. You know, I sort of see it as, you know, me having an opportunity at a club which is well thought of in the area and around, you know, the Cardiff area, as a sort of, you know, a club which has been around for a long period of time. And it's just giving the opportunity, really, for me to grow personally as a manager and make some mistakes and kind of have a bit of a blank canvas to work off and hopefully learn from the qualification that I'm taking at the moment, to go back with, and how you work with board members, how you work with the media, how you work with the players, how you work with a group of staff, all these type of things. And then secondly, really, you know, for the players to have an opportunity, because the Welsh Premier is growing so fastly and there is only a limited amount of room in the Welsh Premier League with that 12-team setup. There's going to be players around that are good enough to work at that drop down in and around the Cymru South and the Cymru North. And I just think the challenge is then for me as a manager and a player developer is to make those players better. You know, there's a couple of players at Tafswell now, in my opinion, I've seen them before, could play in the Welsh Premier League for certain. Just need that opportunity. You know, there's a couple that from this league now have talked about being signed for Welsh Premier League team, Cymru Premier League teams already, who've been in and around the Cymru South this year. It just proves the strength of it. And I just want to, you know, develop that for both myself and both the club and the players as well. So it's an exciting challenge. It's something which I'm going to learn. I'm going to learn from massively. You know, I'm not expecting it to be a straight upward curve. There's going to be ups, downs. There's going to be huge learnings. But for me, it's just picking up the phone and speaking to the people I trust most and who had those experiences. And also doing some things off the wall a bit, Jay, to be a little bit different, to try and, you know, because I'm ambitious. I want to work at the best level I can. You know, and if I can take Tafswell to the Welsh, the Cymru Prem, I keep saying the Welsh Premier League, but the Cymru Prem, great. But if a job came up in the future, you know, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the line at a Cymru Premier team, and I've got an opportunity to put my CV in front of them, then that would be my ambition and goal. And also potentially try and steal Jonah's job as Cymru C manager as well. But no, I'm joking. That's my goal, really. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it will work out well.
Absolutely. Well, look, I've really enjoyed taking some time to chat. It's been really nice for me to speak to people like yourself over the last few months and learn from your experiences and what you've enjoyed about the game. I don't know when we'll be back pitch side, but whenever we are, I look forward to seeing you there and wish you all the best for everything that happens in the meantime.
I just say, Jay, you're doing a fantastic job of promoting Welsh football, and You know, I'd probably like to echo the thoughts of a lot of people. You know, you're doing a fantastic job and keep doing it, mate. And, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed. And, you know, we always need to keep driving this game forward. And you're doing a fantastic job. So I appreciate the call and what we're saying, safe and the family are well.
No, no, thank you. Don't beat me in the head tennis of the C squad next time, please.
Yeah, you'll be on my, you're on my team next time, mate. You're on my team. Told you. Born winner, mate.
Take care, mate. All the best.